the sleeve tattoos, like, all over his arms and everything.
Yeah.
Just a person who
ready to kill.
You wouldn't trust at all.
Yeah. like guy, just left a biker gang because he was tired of going to jail for killing people.
Oh, he just looks like a murderer, and then he did it.
Well, but he pretty much is.
Probably be innocent because he's a cop.
Oh, obviously, yeah. You got to protect your own. Yikes. Was it all, like, caught on camera or something? Or, like, did he have a body cam or audio or something?
Oh, they haven't released the footage of it.
Oh, but he was definitely red-handed.
Some of these videos that come out, it's like, yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. There'll be like 8 cops pointing their guns at this guy.
Yeah.
And he's like,
threatened.
Don't come any closer, but you have me surrounded. Any direction I go, he's moving. Shoot him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you have a guy like pleading for his life.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
A cop being like, I'm probably going to shoot you.
Yeah.
Read the gun, homie.
Like, yeah, read the guns.
Yikes.
Oh, man. That's terrifying.
Just freaky. Yeah.
What a scary place.
And then they come out with all these movies, and cops are always the good guys. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So unrealistic.
If I did see a movie where it was like about a good guy cop and he had a gun that said, you're effed on it, I'd be like, yeah, that guy's cool. Let's go watch him shoot bad guys.
He would be an anti-hero.
Exactly.
Though,
you know, it's like, he'd
be getting on board with the bad guy.
Yeah, badass.
He would have to only kill people who are worse than him.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's got to be good. There's good cops, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
There. I mean, the fact that, like, cop does his job is not a news story.
No. You know? You just hear about the, like, the psychopath.
Cop doesn't shoot guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, cop with the specially engraved gun.
Oh,
with the guy on the ground.
Isn't
pleading
that a warning
for his
sign?
Life.
Yeah.
Telling the guy he's probably going to shoot him.
Yeah.
And then shooting him 5 times.
Yeah. While, like, he's crawling pants.
He's on the ground, like, I don't know. You shoot him once in the leg, maybe?
Yeah. Well, he was there to kill him, clearly. He was going to kill someone that day.
Yeah. Well, they should have a
I shot him in his brain stem 18 times.
Yeah.
He's crawling aggressively.
Well, this would normally be the time where I'd say, coming up, we've got the community living show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got a friend in me, but, you know. I think they've really been pushing the late start recently. I think at first they were like, who are these guys? And now they're like, we can get their, we can sleep in a little
extra. Let them take over.
And they'll just riff. Those guys are so brilliant.
We are geniuses.
Yeah.
Talk about movies and cops.
Movies and cops.
Things like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, let's play a little video game music.
Oh, please.
This is Secret of Mana.
Oh.
A game I've seen in many retro video game
stores. Check this out.
I really wanted to play it.
I got my phone background.
Same image.
Mana.
It's a beautiful image.
Oh, it takes me back. Used to play this game with my brother.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'd be like,
what's it about?
It's
an RPG?
Yeah.
An adventure game?
Yeah. It's one of those action RPGs. It's not really turn-based, you know?
Oh, okay.
You wander around a world. It's a mana beast, you know?
1993.
Oh.
Great year for video games and rap music. A lot of great things came out in the 90s.
Yeah. Classic.
You guys remember the 90s?
A little bit. Parts.
What did you do for the turn of the millennium?
You know, turn it down just a tad. As much as I love the music. The turn of the millennium?
Yeah, 1999. December 31st.
I was at a hotel somewhere because my dad plays in a band and he had a gig.
Oh.
So it wasn't very fun.
Yeah.
But it certainly was.
Your dad's a musician?
Millennium. Yeah, well, he plays bass guitar.
Oh, you got a cool dad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, I got to get up to Kelowna.
Grant Jones.
Ooh,
cool name. Cool dad.
Yeah.
Guy. Do you have a car, Stuart?
I used to.
Not anymore?
No.
Okay. So when you go to Kelowna, you have to...
Take the Greyhound.
Ooh.
Take the Greyhound.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Next time, bring me with you.
On the Greyhound?
Yeah. I want to come do some Kelowna shows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun.
That in my life.
Get a car.
Yeah.
Do it anytime.
That's a polite way of saying no.
No, it's... I mean...
It's
I should
just
get
better.
A car, though. Yeah. I should get a car.
If you want to do Kelowna, either get a car or... I don't know. And I got to sit beside me on the Greyhound. Ugh. That'd be awful.
Yeah, that would
feel, like, feel obliged to talk to each other for 4 hours.
Oh, believe me, I wouldn't.
What a nightmare.
I mean, we're like pushing an hour now. This is pretty tough.
Oh, man. Sorry, I just came across this fantastic news bit. Uber Transportation Company turns its hand to yacht rides with Uber Yacht, where you can actually yacht it up using the Uber service. And this is, of course, guess what city
that's quite a jump.
That's
Miami.
No.
Where?
Dubai.
Dubai.
Which makes so much sense.
Oh, man. What
an entire city of opulence.
I need
a
yacht.
They have Uber Yacht. But this actually, I thought this would just be like an elite thing. And it's like, oh, I need a yacht to go across the aisles and spend thousands. It actually sounds kind of awesome because you spend $82 and you get to just go on this yacht party for like the day. And it comes with like food and drink and a DJ and stuff. Like, I would probably call up Uber Yacht.
Man, Dubai sounds great.
Oh, it sounds like the most, the greatest, just like, it shouldn't even exist. It's in a part of the entire weather and infrastructure around it humanity can't survive in. Like, it's too hot for people. And now this gem of a ridiculous over-the-top city in a very poor area just springs up. It just seems like such a big middle finger to everything.
Yeah, there is, like, a big, tall middle finger.
There
in the
is,
middle
yeah.
of it too,
it's,
pointed
it's
at God. With Tom Cruise sitting on top.
Yeah.
Have you seen that picture?
That's where, like, the people with jetpacks are,
yeah.
right?
And yeah.
Just all that.
Whenever a new extreme sport comes out, the first montage is always from the shores
the Burj
of Dubai.
Khalif. Yeah.
When I can Uber a jetpack, maybe.
Ooh, yeah. I'd go to Dubai to Uber a jetpack.
Isn't it weird that Uber became, like a company? Like, the word Uber?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like pwned.
Yeah, it is.
I heard earlier.
Yeah.
Like, if there was some kind of...
Yeah, you can't say,
if
like,
Airbnb
oh,
was called pwned instead.
Right.
Like, that's weird.
Owned B&B.
Yeah, but Uber doesn't have anything to do with cars.
No,
or
it doesn't.
Whatever.
Oh, we got a call coming in.
Super great.
What?
Mega.
Yep. Oh. Hello. How are you?
Oh, well, you guys are in overtime.
We are.
Welcome.
Yeah, we're taking over. How's it going, Simon?
Nah, not too bad. Not too bad. You guys sound so good today.
Aw, I do.
Yeah, I wish this was the show review episode. I got in a lot of trouble for the last episode.
Did you actually?
Yeah, well,
I think you should talk about this on the air.
Yeah. Anyway,
really,
but tell us
idea.
About your radio gig. You're moving up in the world.
Oh, nobody cares about that. But
you're going to be on the air, though, right?
What? Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know when, but it's funny. Sometimes I'll tell Alex a small thing, and then he just runs with it. Like, I was like, yeah, they might let me on air. And then I'm listening earlier, and Alex is like, he's on air now.
Yeah,
Alex just doesn't understand what, you know, small details are. But
he can't accept
okay.
that you would leave him for something that wasn't on the air. It makes him too sad.
Yeah, you have an incredible opportunity, right?
Yes, that's right. I've noticed, though, Alex, you get a radio affectation when you announce that something's coming up. We got a Transformers story coming up.
Yeah.
You do that every time.
Thanks for bringing that up, Simon. Appreciate you.
Well, it's been annoying me, so I wanted to let everyone else in on it. But also, Gavin, I noticed that whenever somebody says something that you find mildly funny, like someone will go, you know, I ate a bowl of corn nuts. And then you go, ah! And you laugh really loud.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a...
Really appreciate this call, Simon. What do you got for Stuart?
Wait, is this the review episode?
This is definitely a review episode.
This is Madeline?
Stuart sounds,
hello?
Internal
Stuart
review?
Great, as usual.
Oh, thanks.
Stuart sounds fine.
Yeah. Me and Alex are garbage. Salty.
Well, you know,
garbage.
I mean, being called the third mic, you know, it doesn't make everyone in the best mood. But, you know, although I did really enjoy it when Stuart told you to turn down the music. I thought that was pretty funny. It doesn't feel great, does it?
No, I hated that. How was the music, like, should I have turned it down? Because I couldn't really tell.
It was fine.
It was fine,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, I really. Wow. That must be that must be what it feels like to be you.
You know what?
Yeah,
I'm gonna blame it on maybe my headphones are bad. I'm gonna blame that on Alex.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. Well, just to pretend like you were you know, doing some kind of revenge for me for all the times that they've reached over and hit the fucking or the effing level.
Oh, yeah, we were doing so
you're
good.
Cut. You're
I
cut.
It.
All right, it's been nice talking to you, bud.
All right, boys.
Adios.
Have a good morning.
See ya. Well, what a guy.
We were doing so
all
well.
That radio training's really paying off.
Yeah. Ugh. I said effing earlier.
Yeah, yo, you've been great.
I said you're effed.
And you we swear
said,
all the time.
He said effed.
The whole time.
And then Simon comes and
effs it all up.
It all up. Yeah. Yeah, bunch of horse feathers. I tell
yeah,
you.
What a shitty person. I mean, poopy person.
By cracky, I don't know what
cracky.
That means. Just trying to think of something.
Yeah, that's a cracky that likes men and women.
Huh?
So I guess.
You guys let a bad one go there. He said by cracky, and I said it's a cracky that likes men and women.
Ooh,
gotcha.
I get it. Because it's bi.
So we might just be doing this forever. I mean. Yeah. Why not, right?
Yeah. I do have parking. Parking will run out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you still got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are welcome to leave whenever you want. I'm going to
see ya.
Run this
seeing it through
torpedo into the ground.
Seeing
well, that
it through to the end.
That analogy actually doesn't make any sense because a torpedo is in the water.
Yeah. Well, it can still hit the ground from within the water.
Yeah. Then you'd really have ground. To F up.
Yeah.
You'd really have to screw things up.
Yeah. Your torpedo would have to say you're effed on it.
Yeah. Let's get this submarine in the air. Let's do it.
Plug a podcast. How about that? Steel Toes Required is a great new Vancouver podcast about construction jobs. What do you guys think is the worst job you've ever worked?
I used to clean kitchens overnight at McDonald's.
You were the elf that comes in?
One
oh my
them.
God, those are usually immigrants.
You know, the job wasn't so bad. It was that I worked with a guy who had just given up on life.
Oh, yeah.
It was a dude who, he was 41 years old, and he had done the same job cleaning the kitchens overnight at McDonald's for 22 years.
Oh, my God.
It was his first job. It was his only job.
He must have been such a hollow shell of a person.
Yeah,
then.
He was, you know. Just trying to make small talk with him was awful.
The most
like he was married,
thing.
You know, and but he said he didn't.
Let's do some role playing. I'll be the guy. You start a convo with me. We're sweeping up.
You're gonna be the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I probably just wouldn't talk to you. I can't even remember his name.
Oh man.
But he's
probably dead now.
Yes. He was married, but he said he didn't want to get married. His parents wanted him to. I'm like, well, do you love your wife? No. And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I love people like that. At my last barista job a while ago, there was a woman there was like, man, I really wish I didn't get married. I was like, oh, it's, you know, it gets to that point. She's like, no, we got married a year ago.
Ooh.
I really am not happy. I was like, wow.
Ooh.
That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worst job you ever worked, Gavin?
Probably would have been my teenage one working at an A&W. I wasn't just like... We didn't have night elves that came in and cleaned the kitchen. That was all just the people in the back. That was just us.
Mm.
But the best part was, like, teenagers are the worst employees in the world. And I tried to be an okay employee, and when you're in that job setting, no one else is. So
right.
It'll just be crazy packed, and you'll be super busy, and everyone's out back smoking weed and eating free food.
Yeah.
I think that was the worst part of working in fast food industry was just nobody cared. It's not going anywhere.
You guys are so sweet. These stories are cute compared to what I've endured.
Yeah? What was your worst?
Because I was trained by my parents from an early age that I had to work. Otherwise, I was a bad person.
Well, yeah.
But I also, I can't do a regular job. Like, period, I can't do it. So I would just go from job to job getting fired. Like,
oh my God.
Give me, how many jobs do you think I've been fired from?
So I'm going to say 16, just like with pints. I'm going to stick with that number.
16? I can't even remember actually, but I I got fired from a video store, two grocery stores, three restaurants, a lumber yard.
What are you doing at these places?
I'd tell people how I really thought.
Oh, dear. That's the worst.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Never do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all part of the social contract here. You can't just speak your mind.
I mean, I can tell you individual case. I remember at the lumber yard, this guy told me, hey, that's actually not how we hold the wood here.
Yeah.
There's a safer, more efficient way. And I went, I'm good with this way. I'll just do this. So apparently I had a personality clash.
Yeah.
That's what that's called. Nando's Chicken. I lacked the team spirit.
Oh,
apparently
well,
that was
you
necessary.
You weren't spicy enough.
Which might be a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Acceptable reason.
Dunbar Video, I couldn't do the math right.
The math?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I had to add up the cash register. I don't know how people do that. There's too many coins and things.
There's a lot of counting.
Yeah.
You just add up to 100 and start over.
Safeway, I got fired because the guy, well, he actually said I was doing a good job, but that some like a boss's nephew needed a job, so they had to clear a little space.
What?
Yeah.
No. Oh, nightmare. Are they even allowed
the
to
honesty.
Do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Ever since they broke the union, Safeway has really been able to do whatever they want.
Mm.
They make you watch a little video, actually, when you start at Safeway, like a history of Safeway. And like, man, you guys really
skipped.
I worked
at Safeway. Yeah. That's,
what, so that
I remember seeing that video.
If a customer quizzes you on the Safeway stories.
Yeah, I need to know where the Kellogg's is. And also, who was the second president of this company?
Yeah. Yeah, I love how in that video it talks about how, like, it started off with the simple idea of selling things for just a little bit of profit. I was like, oh, how times have changed.
Yeah.
I remember when I worked at Safeway, I was would stock the shelves during the night stalker, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Best thing about the job was the job title. No. Night stalker.
That is pretty sweet.
You're still doing that these days as well.
Right. A night stalker. Something different.
It was a case where like you could see the sheets in the back, which was how much they bought everything for and what the markup was.
Oh,
you know?
Man, that
so
must have been good.
That was pretty nuts.
Pretty nice realization.
Yeah, but the job itself was okay.
Yeah,
you know, it was fine.
I don't think I've had a job where I've been like truly regularly miserable. I'd have bad days.
It's
but
always the people though.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
It's never the job itself.
No, it's not.
Just you gotta work with people.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, that's why as bad as these night shifts are, it's like it's me. It's just me being me and
yeah, doing and your it. Own.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being you. And Gavin, you as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of fun. We will be back probably next morning, but we are switching time slots.
Really?
Yeah, so we are going to be getting in more guests. I have a live show in the works. I do talk about things before they're fully realized, so that
we'll
may or
that
may
goes.
Not happen, but I hope it does. And keeping things real with Vancouver, right, on 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory, and the host of the Community Living Show has finally arrived. So.
When's the new time slot?
Not sure yet. We're talking about that today after our show evaluation.
Oh.
So.
Goodness gracious. Yeah,
your new time slot's 4 a.m., guys.
Yeah.
Pushing you into the darkness.
Right.
Thank you for listening.
do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance. Get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Well, good morning, everyone. I guess we're off to a little bit of a rough start this morning here. I thought Kelly would be here today, but he is not. I guess he's off on another venture, which is all cool. So I do have something in mind with you, and just fill you in on the last last weekend. I had a pretty cool time. I went to a Visali festival, and I managed just to take some photographs, and I managed to get a couple photographs of our premier, Kersey Clark. Now, we're kind of still like going back and forth about the whole thing with the bus pass thing, but hey, you know what? It's still pretty cool to get somebody like that in front of your camera. So, so that was all pretty cool. And you know, some other really really cool things are happening. We still have in the next few, less than 30 days, I guess. The Just One More Step walk to Banff with the Fibromyalgia Wellspring and Cheryl Young. That's going to start May 24th. They're going to be taking the very first steps from in front of the Fibromyalgia Wellspring thrift store in Langley. So it's going to be pretty exciting. I'm going to actually be filming the walk as we go. And I'll be sending back updates to Kelly about what's going on, what's happening with the feel of for everyone's how everyone's feeling, how they're making out with things, all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be pretty exciting. So I'm pretty excited to go and get the filming going, and I'm pretty excited to bring everybody the stories. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And the best part about it, we're going to bring awareness to people about you know, hidden disabilities. So, yeah, it's going to be really cool that way. So, yeah, so that's going to be really exciting. So, well, I guess we'll move on to a clip about chronic pain and, you know, how people feel about this thing, since we are talking about doing a documentary about fibromyalgia, which is basically these folks have chronic pain, and that's what keeps them from really being able to participate in a lot of things. And one of the reasons why Cheryl Young decided to do this whole walk anyway. Okay, so let me see what we got here. And we found a TED Talk on chronic pain. Okay, it looks like Elliot Crane, and it's the mystery of chronic pain. Okay, so here we go.
I'm a pediatrician and an anesthesiologist, so I put children to sleep for a living. And I'm an academic, so I put audiences to sleep for free. But what I actually mostly do is I manage the pain management service at the Packard Children's Hospital up at Stanford in Palo Alto. And it's from the experience of about 20 or 25 years of doing that that I want to bring to you the message this morning that pain is a disease. Now, most of the time you think of pain as a symptom of a disease, and that's true most of the time. It's the symptom of a tumor or an infection or an inflammation or an operation. But about 10% of the time, after the patient has recovered from one of those events, pain persists. It persists for months and oftentimes for years. And when that happens, it is its own disease. And before I tell you about how it is that we think that happens and what we can do about it, I want to show you how it feels for my patients. So imagine, if you will, that I'm stroking your arm with this feather, as I'm stroking my arm right now. Now I want you to imagine that I'm stroking it with this. Please keep your seat. A very different feeling. Now, what does it have to do with chronic pain? Imagine, if you will, these two ideas together. Imagine what your life would be like if I were to stroke it with this feather, but your brain was telling you that this is what you are feeling. And that is the experience of my patients with chronic pain. In fact, imagine something even worse. Imagine I were to stroke your child's arm with this feather, and their brain were telling them that they were feeling this hot torch. That was the experience of my patient Chandler, whom you see in the photograph. As you can see, she's a beautiful young woman. She was 16 years old last year when I met her, and she aspired to be a professional dancer. And during the course of one of her dance rehearsals, she fell on her outstretched arm and sprained her wrist. Now, you would probably imagine, as she did, that a wrist sprain is a trivial event in a person's life. Wrap it in an ACE bandage, take some ibuprofen for a week or two, and that's the end of the story. But in Chandler's case, that was the beginning of the story. This is what her arm looked like when she came to my clinic about 3 months after her sprain. You can see that the arm is discolored, purplish in color. It was cadaverically cold to the touch. The muscles were frozen, paralyzed. Dystonic is how we refer to that. The pain had spread from her wrist to her hands, to her fingertips, from her wrist up to her elbow, almost all the way to her shoulder. But the worst part was not the spontaneous pain that was there 24 hours a day. The worst part was that she had allodynia, the medical term for the phenomenon that I just illustrated with the feather and with the torch. The lightest touch of her arm, the touch of a hand, the touch even of a sleeve of a garment as she put it on, caused excruciating, burning pain. How can the nervous system get this so wrong? How can the nervous system misinterpret an innocent sensation like the touch of a hand and turn it into the malevolent sensation of the touch of the flame. Well, you probably imagine that the nervous system in the body is hardwired like your house. In your house, wires run in the wall from the light switch to a junction box in the ceiling and from the junction box to the light bulb. And when you turn the switch on, the light goes on. And when you turn the switch off, the light goes off. So people imagine the nervous system is just like that. If you hit your thumb with a hammer, these wires in your arm that, of course, we call nerves, transmit the information up to the junction box in the spinal cord, where new wires, new nerves, take the information up to the brain, where you become consciously aware that your thumb is now hurt. But the situation, of course, in the human body is far more complicated than that. Instead of it being the case that that junction box in the spinal cord is just simply where one nerve communicates with the next nerve by releasing these little brown packets of chemical information called neurotransmitters in a linear one-on-one fashion, in fact, what happens is the neurotransmitters spill out in three dimensions, laterally, vertically, up and down in the spinal cord, and they start interacting with other adjacent cells. These cells, called glial cells, were once thought to be unimportant structural elements of the spinal cord that did nothing more than hold all the important things together, like the nerves. But it turns out the glial cells have a vital role in the modulation, amplification, and in the case of pain, the distortion of sensory experiences. These glial cells become activated, their DNA starts to synthesize new proteins which spill out and interact with adjacent nerves, and they start releasing their neurotransmitters. And those neurotransmitters spill out and activate adjacent glial cells and so on and so forth, until what we have is a positive feedback loop. It's almost as if somebody came into your home and rewired your wall so that the next time you turned on the light switch, the toilet flushed three doors down, or your dishwasher went on, or your computer monitor turned off. That's crazy, but that's in fact what happens with chronic pain, and that's why pain becomes its own disease. The nervous system has plasticity. It changes and it morphs in response to stimuli. Well, what do we do about that? What can we do in a case like Chandler's? We treat these patients in a rather crude fashion at this point in time. We treat them with symptom-modifying drugs, painkillers, which are frankly not very effective for this kind of pain. We take nerves that are noisy and active that should be quiet, and we put them to sleep with local anesthetics. And most importantly, what we do is we use a rigorous and often uncomfortable process of physical therapy and occupational therapy to retrain the nerves in the nervous system to respond normally to the activities and sensory experiences that are part of everyday life. And we support all of that with an intensive psychotherapy program to address the despondency, despair, and depression that always accompanies severe chronic pain. It's successful, as you can see from this video of Chandler, who 2 months after we first met her is now doing a backflip. And I had lunch with her yesterday because she's a college student studying dance at Long Beach here. And she's doing absolutely fantastic. But the future is actually even brighter. The future holds the promise that new drugs will be developed that are not symptom-modifying drugs that simply mask the problem, as we have now, but that will be disease-modifying drugs that will actually go right to the root of the problem and attack those glial cells or those pernicious proteins that the glial cells elaborate that spill over and cause this central nervous system windup or plasticity that so is capable of distorting and amplifying the sensory experience that we call pain. So that I have hope that in the future, the prophetic words of George Carlin will be realized, who said, "My philosophy, no pain, no pain." Thank you very much.
From April 25th to May 1st, coming out to the Versus Festival of Words, a showcase of written, spoken, and sung performances and discussions to celebrate the transformative power of words. There's a different event for everyone, from teen angst poetry, panels about community building, and the Canadian Individual Poetry Slam. Check out versusfestival.ca for all the details, the schedule, and tickets.
Hey students, it's done. You made it through the school year, and now it's time to pack up and move out. Remember when you got sick right around exam time and had to get that prescription? While you're packing up your life, you'll probably come across some unused or expired meds that helped you get through the cramming for that one last test. You need to make sure you return all drugs to the local pharmacy for proper disposal. Don't throw it out, and don't flush it down the drain. The pharmacy is the easiest and safest place to return any unwanted drugs. Help to reduce misuse and safely keep drugs out of our environment. This message is brought to you by the health products industry.
Well, I thought that was a pretty good explanation of what people experience with chronic pain. The guy using a blowtorch to describe what chronic pain would actually feel like. So that's pretty interesting, pretty graphic thing. So, yeah. I have another clip to share with you about, again, about chronic pain. And it's about pain management, and it is by Rita Rickman. So let's go move on to that.
Welcome to a calming meditation for pain management with Rita Hickman. In the next quarter hour, I'll help you become aware of, acknowledge, and alter your pain. By quieting your thought, you will quiet both your mind and body. Begin in a comfortable area where your whole head, neck, and body feel grounded. When you're in a comfortable area, reflect on how you feel. Quietly reflect on your body and mind. Where in your body do you hold your concern? Where do you feel your pain? Where in your body do you feel grounded? Take a deep breath in and now breathe out. Breathe in and out. Continue to breathe calmly, quietly. Continue reflecting, only reflecting on your body and mind, while you gently quiet your thought. You have nothing to do, no one to be. You only need to take note of how you feel. for a brief time, direct your mind to any pain you are feeling. Right now, you may have constant pain, fleeting pain, or you might even be pain-free. Watch your body. It will change from moment to moment. Your body will alter. A moment from now, you will feel gently different from the way you feel right now. You only need to watch the moment go by. Although you might feel uncomfortable for a brief time, watch the pain. Begin by watching the pain from far away and gently moving nearer. You can approach gradually or quickly. Ever nearer. Find harmony moment by moment for the way you are feeling right now, body and mind, gentle or difficult. Allow your body and mind to only be. Allowing. Contemplating, letting go of the need to control or change. Let go of the need to do anything right now, the need to be anything, only be. You have nothing you need to be doing, only allowing the moment to be. Take a deep breath in, and now breathe out. Bring yourself back to your watcher. Quietly watch your pain or lack of pain. For a brief time, we will direct our mind to be quiet and then to concentrate. A quiet mind will form a quiet body, and a concentrated mind will form a grounded body. Now gently quiet your mind by quieting your body. Now go deeper and quiet your body by quieting your mind. Now, concentrate your mind by tightening your body. to go deeper, tighten your body by concentrating your mind. Concentrate and quiet. Concentrate and quiet. And watch how you gently alter how you feel when you change how you think. Concentrate. Quiet. Concentrate. Quiet. Change how you think by changing what you feel. Your mind will affect your body, telling it what to feel. We're going to alter our feeling of pain by altering our mind. Imagine the pain. Observe the exact location. Now, imagine the feeling of cold, cool, chilled. You have applied comfortable cold to your pain. Feel the cold. Feel the change in your body and your pain. While you imagine chill and cold. Now direct your mind to a different feeling, whatever you like. You may prefer to imagine a feeling of tingling. Of warmth, you may prefer gentle but firm, comfortable weight, a gentle weight on your body and your pain. Imagine the feeling now. Imagine the feeling changing just a tiny bit of the pain and a tiny bit more of the pain. More and more. Direct your mind to your new, growing feeling, providing relief, allowing your body and mind to have calm and quiet. Take a deep breath in. And out. In. And out. continue to breathe gently and rhythmically while we begin to meditate. Direct your mind to the word light. With every breath, repeat the mantra, light. Light breathing in. Light breathing out. Hear and imagine the word light in your mind. Whenever your mind might drift, direct it again onto light. Nothing to do, no one to be, no right way or wrong way. You are right where you need to be, right now.
So one of the reasons why I shared a meditation with people who would have chronic pain is because the doctors, I've been to a few talks, and doctors all seem to want to agree on something, that by calming the mind, people with chronic pain don't get rest, normal rest, the way people who don't have pain, their mind is always turned on. So by sharing meditations with people with chronic pain can learn to calm their mind and actually get rest and actually get through the pain that they're experiencing. So that's why I shared a meditation with that. And actually, it was, I would say that was a pretty good meditation, because she talked about things about cooling the pain, cooling the areas that have pain in them, and things like that. Trying to train the mind to pay less attention to the pain and be more relaxed. So for those with chronic pain, turning the mind off is not as easy as it is if you don't experience the pain at all. So so that's why I shared that. Anyway, that's about it for us. We're almost done. I don't have any new announcements for new events are coming up or anything like that at this time. Join us again tomorrow on our other station for a half-hour show, and we'll try to find some new and more interesting tidbits about disabilities, about how we're treating each other, and things like that. So have an awesome day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.